Welcome to the podcast version of Sunday Miscellany, which differs from the radio version for rights reasons. We hope you enjoy the programme.
When I called to collect my niece Gemma to go Christmas shopping, I was puzzled at first as to what she was doing flat on the floor, peering under a cupboard. All became clear when she explained that she was attempting a field mouse rescue mission before her cat, prowling with murderous intent, got there first. Like me, even as an adult, she still has a soft spot for those wee, sleek-eyed, cowering, timorous beasties, as Robert Burns saw them, who only want to find a cosy home when temperatures outside plummet. Beatrix Potter has a lot to answer for in our love of mice. She delighted us as children with her charming Mrs. Tittlemouse, Hunca Munca, Tom Thumb and others who, while so small in size, are so big in courage. In turn frugal, clean or mischievous, they, in their minute clothes, have been greatly loved by generations of children. From Aesop's 6th century fable, The Town Mouse and the Country Mouse, onwards, stories about mice abound. But as adults, we have a contradictory and conflicting relationship with them. We grow away from that world of wonder, where, in our vulnerability and helplessness as children, we subconsciously identify with this smallest of nature's animals. Mice are simultaneously feared and romanticised in our culture. Buy a mouse trap in one shop and, in the next one, find a display of cutesy Hallmark cards with lovable mice looking back at you. I hear the same contradiction when my daughter says, "Ah, wee mouse," when her cuddly baby snuggles into her. It's safe to say that if a real wee mouse snuggled up to her, it would not be greeted with a term of endearment. How would Cinderella have coped without the company of her equally downtrodden mice friends? Who could not love C.S. Lewis's Reepy Cheep and his army of big-hearted, bold, brave mice in Narnia? And then there's the irrepressible Mickey and Minnie and Tom, always triumphing over Jerry. One mouse story has even been the source of a new verb in our house. Leo Leone's Friedrich is a field mouse who's accused of being lazy, but turns out to be soaking up the beauty of the world around him in order to sustain his family and give them hope with his stories about it when times get tough. I'm doing a Friedrich is now common parlance for those times when we just want to press a pause button and enjoy the moment. But back to Gemma and that mouse rescue mission. We had to abandon it temporarily, the mouse still at large, because the Christmas rush was in full swing and time was of the essence for us to go on another mission, to stock up on refreshments for the family gathering. We got a strange response in the off-licence. Now, Gemma is a very beautiful young woman with a pre-Raphaelite pale skin and luxuriant hair, and it is not unusual for her to get admiring looks. But the reaction of the young man behind the counter was somewhat extreme when he saw her. He appeared to be frozen to the spot and struck speechless. His eyes were on stilts and his mouth opened and closed, but no recognisable words came out. At last he managed to splutter, "Hair, mouse." I looked at Gemma, and there, peeping out of her curls, were the bright eyes of the elusive field mouse. She didn't panic, but instinctively put her hand to her hair, at which the mouse nimbly leapt free of her curls to the shelf behind her and scampered off behind the bottles there. The unflappable Gemma was just relieved that the mouse had hitched a safe passage in her hair. But she had to reassure the clearly traumatised young man that She didn't normally go around with mice in her hair. We would need another Beatrix Potter to tell the continued adventures of that little mouse. But at our Christmas family gathering that year, amid much laughter, the tale of the day Gemma went Christmas shopping with a mouse in her hair entered into family lore.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. All the stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in the hope that Saint Nicholas soon would be there.
Then what to my wondering eyes should appear? A miniature sleigh.
Advent Calendar. I open up the Magi window. Inside there's me and Auntie Boobala driving through a glittery village towards the starlit hills, with angels singing from the radio, snow had fallen, snow on snow. Next window shows Mum's new abode, old ritual of closing the curtains, Mum rushing in the flaming pud with silver charms to spin the usual fun. Boobala's tutting greets the wedding bells, Mum's zutelor, the wedding ring. And in the next, the carols. Tree ablaze with candles, a circle of us singing Mon beau sapin, and drifting off to Mum's le vésiné, her vie parisienne, we never knew before the war, the sense of joining with the ancestors. The final scene, a first floor city flat, a tree that never sheds a needle, a mantelpiece with corporate cards, and Dad, still tipsy from his club, is quickly sealing all his Advent windows to stay the rush of Christmas ghosts.
Christmas Eve. The past is a scattering of barnacled rocks at the edge of ocean. Indoors, we keep journals of sorrows and accidents, though most wonderful has been the ongoing common everyday, too easily forgotten. Because letters cut into the gravestone merge too soon with the stone. Back door, its ditch dark green, rain-swollen, scraping open or scraping shut, has scored a perfectly shaped quarter circle on the black flags and gouged a large splinter out of itself at the base, where a field mouse might whisper through. One nightfall, Christmas Eve, before electricity had driven angels and all supernaturals out that back door, when oil lamps still stood elegant, like women in a painting by Toulouse-Lautrec, Father took me out into the heathlands, the hill lit only by a weak starlight, then turned me round to see. In all the windows of the houses there were candles lighting, their intimacy and presence transfiguring the world. I stood, awed and, somehow, triumphant. No lights have ever since been adequate to the birth, to the remembrance.
John F. Dean there, ending this edition of Miscellany Extra, Christmas Eve trimmings from regular Sunday Miscellany contributors. The full lineup was The Tale of the Curly-Haired Girl and the Mouse by Olive Travers, Advent Calendar, a poem by James Harper, and Christmas Eve, a poem by John F. Dean. The music, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, performed by Rosemary Clooney and Jean Autry, and In the Bleak Midwinter by Gustav Holst, played by the London Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Christopher Warren Green. Christmas Miscellany with the RTE Concert Orchestra and guests including John Toll, Maggie Armstrong, Donal Fallon and Coitre Reardon is at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's Christmas morning here on RTE Radio 1.
You've been listening to the Sunday Miscellany podcast. For more from us, you can follow the programme on Facebook, Twitter, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Just search for RTE Sunday Miscellany.